The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear.
All right.
On our way down.
Yep, down we go. Glug, glug, glug. Hey, anyways, National Intel Report. I'm Steve O'Brien, filling in for Peter Serafine. He's out delivering mail. This is hour two of the show, December 12th, 2022. This hour, we're going to have a special guest that I really don't know too much about. He looks fun. He sounds kind of fun. He's a libertarian. That's neat. By the way, you can get Peter Serafine's website at liberty-lighthouse.com, and you can get over to the network at republicbroadcasting.org. We will be accepting calls during the whole part of the show as we figure out what the heck we're going to talk about. But we've got a lot of things, because you're a podcaster and a libertarian. Well, that doesn't sound too well. There's a lot of libertarian podcasters.
A lot.
I'd probably be a libertarian too if I didn't sign up for the Republican Party, and I don't know why. I really don't.
Well, you could change it.
So I sure can, and I have thought about that. And well, I've. It's a lot of work, you know, and I probably will. I don't know. Why libertarian? Why comedian? Why don't you be serious?
I can't operate that way. Can't go through life being serious. Got to joke about everything you see. Otherwise, you'll lose it. I love comedy. I always love comedy, but I also love to be free and love liberty. So, hence libertarian. Two things became to be the same? Great question. I really don't know. They kind of just cross blended at one point. Like, I don't do like liberty comedy. I do regular comedy, and I just happen to be a libertarian podcast about it and talk about it and stuff.
When Peter sent me over the information, he has this little thing in my rectangle, right? I opened up the thing and it says, "Oh, Adam Nutter." I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a libertarian name, you know. What's the Ian Freeman? I'm like, yeah, that's really your name, dude.
It is my real name, though.
That is your name.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah, Nutter is my unfortunate last name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, but yeah, I'm used to libertarians renaming themselves. It's like, okay, I am Captain Greenfoot.
Not this guy. This guy sticks with his true garbage name of Adam Nutter. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. But what do you do for the podcast? What's the deal? What's the reason? Is that a way to monetize or try to do? What are you doing?
So. Pretty much, it's become kind of a libertarian echo chamber a little bit, but I try not to be. But I pretty much started my podcast because, like, I consider myself a little bit more black-pilled or white-pilled, whatever pill you want to use, you know, whatever color pill you want to use. And I'm, you know, I'm just, like, broken from the system. You know, like, I like all government's bad. I'm totally on the other end of the normal scope, I would say, of thought. So I started the podcast initially just to talk to other libertarians, other friends of mine, you know, people I looked up to, and to see how they got into it, their philosophy on certain things going on in our country, in the government, of like, you know, how we would handle it, or how we should handle, or how we, you know, we could be doing things better. And then now it's just kind of like me, and I just get a different guest each week or different guests each week, and we just kind of talk about current events, what's going on, philosophy. We debate the L versus D versus R versus friggin' I versus independent, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's become a political podcast for sure, and you don't have to be a libertarian to like it, like at all.
Yeah, I. You know, discussing that, you know, Peter Serafine, right? You know, he booked you as a guest, and I'm sure he really wanted to talk to you about something. But he's what they call Constitution Party. right? And he does this thing about, you know, well, I'm Constitution Party because, well, it aligns with who I am. And I'm kind of like going, error, dude, right? They don't follow the Constitution, right? And yeah. I guess his point is they should.
Like, of course.
Good luck. You know, come on.
Everything that's been happening has been against the Constitution, but we just sit back and we take it each time. So, like, stop. I don't abide my life of what was written on paper. You know what I'm saying? Like
again, yes, I hear you. That's the libertarian part. It's like, I didn't sign the Constitution.
Right, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Why am I beholden to it? And I know you're not because you don't follow it, right? So right. Why do I have to follow?
And, like, we should follow it because it's pretty good, well, but we don't. So,
yeah. You know. There are certain things that are good, right? You know, don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff.
That's
right.
That, by the way, right there, what you just said right there is the simplification of what libertarianism is. Don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. It's that simple. Yeah. It really is that simple. And people call me a Nazi for it.
you know, I can't claim credit for it. Michael Badenerick, he used it once at a little restaurant. He used to be a libertarian presidential candidate and back in 2005 or some crap like that. I forget. He was very popular back then. Now he's gotten, I don't know. He was pretty torn up by the coronavirus because back when they locked down humanity.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Seems pretty funny, you know, looking back at it. But, you know, do you know who Michael Badenerick is, by
I
the
do.
Way?
Well, I know. I don't know him personally. I know of him, yeah.
Okay. Well, he's an interesting guy, but that's another conversation. But well, we were talking a couple months after COVID went crazy, and he lives in this place called Austin, and Austin's crazy. You know, I don't know how to describe Austin, but you probably
liberal.
Already heard about it. Yeah, you know, and you go, dude, why don't you have any free thought? They all think the same.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you're not into uniqueness, you're not weird, you're just annoying.
Yeah. Well, collectivism is a danger, right, for free thought. It's antithetical to free thought, collectivism. So that's anti-libertarian for sure. Like, I don't. That's why I think, like, racism and stuff is dumb. Not because, like, all the reasons they tell you to hate racism. Because it's, like, it's a collective thought, right? It's like, you're like, oh, I hate because of this. And you go, oh, it's dumb. Like, think outside of that. Like, think for yourself. Think individually. Like, think about the person. So any collective thought is usually bad. Usually bad. You know, obviously the collective thought of freedom and individuality is not bad. But, like, anytime you start to collectivize ideas like that, it's usually a bad idea. For sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it all gets circular, but you know, but this guy Badenerick Michael, you know, we were talking at a picnic table right now or a while back. You know, it was a get together of old friends, and we were all talking about shooting guns and things like that. And he was like, "Man, this year sucked, right? Because all my friends." They got scared and they just wanted to stay at their house and hide. And he's like, well, I'm like, well, I'll come over there. They're like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the coronavirus. And I didn't have a big problem with it, right? I guess my big problem with it was people trying to do things like force things on me, right?
Well, of course.
It would
yeah.
be like, and that's the libertarian part of me. You walk over to Walmart and they say, put on a mask to come in. I'm going, what?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. And then, I don't know, how did you handle that time? You know, did you ask the question, right? Is this something that will help me? Or did you just listen to them and follow along? Sorry to get serious. I know.
No, that's great. That's great. It's fine. I like to talk about this stuff. So firstly, like when you said the libertarian in me is like not to be told what to do. That should be everybody, no matter your political affiliation. As a human being, as a natural born right, especially as an American, we should all feel that way. We should all be like, no, I don't care where my political autonomy falls. You're not going to tell me what to do with myself and my body. Like that's great. But of course, that's not how it is. Right. So it shouldn't. That's unfortunate. That's a thought of people. It should just be instinctual for every single person on the planet. You know, forget just here. Me and a lot of the other libertarians out there, and a lot of some of the lesser of the conservatives, the GOPs, the ones who actually had a fortitude. We were all March of 2020 when Trump was like, "Well, we're gonna go to lockdown." We all went, "That's it. This is bad." Mm-hmm. Every single one of us is like, "You're taking away your freedom. You're taking away our livelihood. You're taking away our pursuit of to do what we want." It's all that you enslaved us as a country. Everything we said 3 years ago that was a conspiracy is true now. Every single thing we've been saying for 3 years. Every single thing. I mean, my Virgil Twitter account got banned. But if I had access to my Virgil Twitter, yeah, of course it did. But if you had access to my Virgil Twitter account, you would see all my tweets, and not just my tweets, all my friends' tweets and all other people's libertarian tweets of, you know, being like, "This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen." And then all the comments are like, "You guys are conspiracy theorists. You hate grandma. You're stupid. You hate science. You're Nazi. You love all these." And then 3 years go by, and I'm like, "Oh, look at that. Everything I said was true? No kidding." It's almost like I have common sense. The whole mask thing was crazy. Like, now, here's a problem. Like, to answer your question about the mask thing, it's like, yeah, I had to. I mean, they wouldn't let you in places. Like, when you have when you have the government co-opting private business, right? And remember, the government, they're not dumb. They're garbage, immoral lizard people, pedophiles, but they're not dumb, right? So they didn't make you wear a mask, but they told the stores, if we find people not wearing masks,
that's a private
in your
business.
Store, we're going to fine you. So then the stores go, "Well, we're going to make people wear masks in our store." And then we go, "Well, this is a breach of our First Amendment. This is a breach of our bodily autonomy." And the government's like, whoa, "We never said you had to wear a mask. We never said you had to wear a mask." And you're like, okay, it's beautiful. Semantics, right? It's semantics. It's brilliant, but it's semantics.
Uh-huh.
So they force all these stores. Now, what that is fascism. Actual fascism, not what the left yells out. When you have the government operating and dictating what private business does, that's fascism. That's what Hitler did. That's what Mussolini did, right? They all did it. That's the definition of fascism. So we had a fascist state in this country. We still do, right? And then we had to all sit through it. So either I want to go get food for my family or I don't. So you put me in a bind. Now, after a while, I was like, "All right, I'm done with the mask thing," and like we just kind of stopped wearing them. But like the first year we all did. I live right outside of Philly, so I don't live in Philly, so I don't have I wasn't like in a city, so I was a lot more lenient where I was. But like still, it was pretty not great.
You're up. Yeah, I live out in the kind of rural countryside. It's really not rural. Well, it is kind of rural, but it's more like Disneyland, right? Without walls around it and tickets to get in and out, right? The tourists come here.
Right.
They shut down everything. And we had a Walmart that, you know, if you went into, you could barge your way through. And I had friends and a lot of times I didn't wear a mask, but it was kind of funny. You'd walk into the place without a mask and they'd be like, "Hey, you need a mask?" I said, "No, I don't." Right. And then walk right in and you look around and you can find your friends because they don't have masks either. You're like, "Well, I can identify you for sure." You know,
so, I bought one of those fake masks like right away.
Oh yeah.
It's mesh.
So
it looks like a mask, but that's how dumb this whole thing is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's right. Like, and they're all, "Well, you can use it, right? Because it's a nonsense."
No, they don't even know. They don't even realize it's like, that's how dumb. But that aside, it's the brainwashing of people.
The conditioning of wearing masks.
So, I mean, I'm a comic. I'm in a pretty liberal field. A lot of my friends are pretty left-leaning. And I had this conversation with my buddy the other day. Yeah. And they're liberal,
okay, gotcha.
Progressive liberal, they're very left leaning people. Yeah,
gotcha.
And we were talking about the mask thing, and we're like, "That." I was like, "That was crazy, right?" And he's like, "Well, you know what helped?" And went, "No, No, they didn't. There's actually multiple studies about how masks did nothing at all. They mitigated nothing. And he's like, no, it can't be true. I went, buddy, let me just ask you this question. If I put that mask on that you're wearing, I could take my vape pen and I could vape through my mask. I could vape through my mask. I was like, but I can't. But you're telling me that COVID particles, which are microscopic compared to vape particles, that's going to stop.
Are going to be stopped. Yeah.
And you're like, that doesn't. That's common sense, right? And they don't like. It's like the average. All these people that you always thought were very sensible people that never would go down this weird. They all just boom. Switch flipped. It's like the blue switch got flipped and they all just started believing everything the government says, every single thing an official says. They're like, yep, that's it. You know, this is the science. They're like parrots. They have no individual thought. They have no common sense anymore. Any doctor that was like, actually, this isn't right. They got, they were dissidents, right? They were put out into the fields for pasture to be killed, like, essentially. They were silenced. They were – their medical licenses stripped in a lot of cases. Legitimate, like, Inquisition stuff happened in this country. And then they just right. went – and they just went, ah, it's fine, though. It's gone now, right? We all made some mistakes. And we're like, no. I mean, how many articles got written about pandemic amnesty? And we're like – eat it, you know. I'm never forgetting.
Yeah, like, they're not saying, you know, that anything went wrong, but we think we should talk about amnesty
right now. No way, never, and, ever forget the true. Never forget, you know.
Right. But nothing ever happens. That's the worst part.
No,
it just keeps going on and on. And I go, wow, what the hell? Now we got Brazil. Did you follow what's going on in Brazil at all? You know, that's a kind of a crazy thing, right? The old crooked Lula, whatever, he's back in, and, you know, he stole the election again, right? It looks like it's a mirror to the different stealing tactics that we're showing that happened in the United States within the last handful of years, you know, the screwing around with this electronic. But anyways, that's an interesting bellwether, because you have the left, I guess we'd say, the liberal left that wants global warming, and they want to, well, okay, they want to boss Brazil around and tell them how to use their land, right? They're all, that rainforest is ours, and right. you can't cut that down, and you better stop growing cows, because, you know, they're peeing everywhere and farting. Right. And you're like, dude, that's hilarious. They're not. They are. Right.
Yeah.
So do we have the right to boss around Brazil? Right. Is Lula really a candidate? Right. He just got out of jail for fraud and stealing from his country. And now all of a sudden he's going to be the president in a couple weeks. Right. It's I don't know.
Here's how I kind of look at things. Like, okay. Whoever our left supports. Support the opposite of that. That's usually right. I'm serious. Like, whatever they say, go, oh, I'm going to go the other guy. Like, because you're wrong. Whatever you're saying is wrong, for sure. So okay. You go the opposite guy of whoever our left says, for sure, 100%.
So that's like your Hegelian dialectic.
Yeah, that's my barometer.
It, right? There's the problem. You support them. My reaction is this, and so the solution is not getting in your way or something.
Yeah, my immediate thing is like, what do you support? And they go, oh, I support A, B, and C. I go, I'm gonna support D, E, and F, because I know you're wrong. That's simple.
Yeah, I would really like it if people didn't pay attention to them, you know, and maybe we'll get our way. But I'm not that hopeful about it. You know, we do have a caller. Do you want to jump off and see where we go?
Sure.
He wants to talk about masks. Come on, CT. Talk about masks. Tell me how an N95 mask is going to save our lives. No, I don't know what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
I probably need an M40 mask if you want to save your life, you know, and I don't even know if that works.
M40, M1. No,
yeah, 1A1, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I want to tell you about this, these mask mandatory stuff that was going on a couple of years ago. you know, the Walmart, Dollar General, all that said mask required, correct? Remember those signs?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. This is absolute 100% true story. I'm not kidding you. I said, okay, you want to play that game? I went and I bought a Lone Ranger mask. And I went into the store, and they never said nothing to me. They just laughed.
I believe it.
Yep.
The employees just looked and laughed. They said, well, you're wearing a mask. I'm not making that up.
Yeah, no, because this whole thing, it's theater. It's not about your health or safety. It's about theater and control and power and what we're willing to do. The World Economic Forum has already come out and said, like, well, they've already complied so much with what we asked for already. We could probably do more. This has been said publicly. So, like, just keep that in mind, you know?
Oh, of course. How many videos did you see during that time period where you had these left-wing lunatics would get in somebody's face that wasn't wearing a mask? They'd pull their mask down, get in their face, and scream at them. What? You just defeated the whole purpose. You just killed your argument, you stupid...
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. This whole left wing progressive lunatic spill that's going on. They're a bunch of low IQ people, and when you have a bunch of low IQ people, and you give them a status of power, they take it and run with it. So their status, because they have no power in their daily life. Like they're not their own boss. They mostly work at low end jobs or something like that. So they have no control. They have no control of their home life. But when daddy government tells them, like, it's okay for you to yell at somebody who's not wearing a mask, then they go, like, I'm a hall monitor now. And they get their shoulders up and they go, I'm the hall monitor of the mask thing. And low IQ status people acting like something they're not. And that's the problem we saw in our country and across the world. There's a bunch of no ones getting a little bit of power and running with it, right? Like the old saying goes, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So
right, but look at these so-called conservatives. I mean, they're not really different. I mean, they're using the same language that the left did, you know, 5 years ago. They're calling everybody a gay or a congressperson or a, you know... No, it's a congressman, congresswoman, spokeswoman. No, they won't even use that terminology. So they've already fell for it. They start with the language, and then they destroy the culture. And that's what they've done, and these so-called conservatives have rode that roller coaster right along with them, because think about it. The Democrats were against homosexual marriage 10 years ago.
Now, until 2012.
Yeah, well, the Republicans are supposedly electing homosexuals and transformers and stuff now out of Montana.
Transformers.
Come on, man.
That's hilarious. So yeah, you're right, man. Michael Malice likes to have it. He has a saying: conservatives are just progressives driving the speed limit. Right.
Well,
so,
I think Lincoln Rockwell had it right when he said they're the biggest cowards and thinks in the country.
Correct. Yeah, also true. But, like, the progressives would be like, we want drag time story hour in schools. And then the right goes, like, hey, slow down. That's crazy. We'll start at the libraries and we'll get to the schools in 10 years. Like, that's all they don't protect culture. The GOP and the establishment GOP in this country are cowards. They're absolute cowards and should be stripped of their power in office.
Hallelujah.
They're absolute losers.
Do you remember? Do you remember the trannies for Trump rallies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Trannies for Trump.
TPUSA was promoting?
Yeah, no. The right in this country are absolute cowards and should be stripped of all their power. They let the lockdowns happen. They let inflation happen. They were right along with the champion, and they could go to hell. They could absolutely eat it, too. The establishment right is the absolute worst. I feel bad for all the people who still vote Republican who actually care about their values and culture. Yep. Oh yeah, more money to fight a proxy war, guys. Are you excited?
Oh my god, it's an omnibus. Omnibus.
Yeah. All right,
remember,
you
don't need guns.
My story I wanted to put in there, so I'll hang up and listen
all
to you.
All right. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. This is National Intel Report. Peter Seraphine's out for the night. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
All right. Let's get right back into it. Enough listening to music. Hey, I'm Steve O'Brien. You're listening to the National Intel Report. Peter Serafine is out for the night. He is working. And, I've got Adam Nutter on the line. And, he's he's like us, unfortunately. You know, he sees things different. Hey, Adam, tell us a little bit more about you, your podcast, and how folks can, find you and, all that crap. Not crap. Sorry.
No, you're right. So I have two podcasts. One's a pure comedy podcast I do with my friend, the great Neil Wood, who's also a comic. That's called the Cult of Us podcast. It's available everywhere. YouTube.com/Cult of Us. No politics. So if you just want a break from that and just want to laugh about us saying crazy, absolutely crazy things to each other and making fun of stories in the news and all that stuff, hit up that show. If you guys care about politics and you want to stick on this stuff, go check out The Porcupine. That's my political podcast. I'm actually doing right after this. I go live whenever I record it, usually Tuesday or Thursdays, youtube.com/Adam Nutter. Also, audio available everywhere. Just look up The Porcupine. And I also put my stand-up clips up there. And follow me on Instagram at Adam Nutter and Twitter at Tattooed Comic because my original account got banned. So,
Porcupine, huh? That's interesting.
Well, it's the logo for the Libertarian Party.
I guess, and that's the way I think. I always want to make myself kind of like They're like, do I want to touch that? No, I don't want to touch that. I also want to be outrun the other camper, you know, if a bear comes. Right?
For like, sure, all you got to do is be faster than the people around you.
Right. There you go. We're just going to do that. You know, it's interesting. So have you ever, your profession, right, a comedian, right? Wow, it's a hard time to become a comedian. You know, back in the day, you know, the 80s, the 90s, you know, they had infrastructure, right? They told jokes that were funny, not politically sensitive. Everybody didn't get their panties in a wad. They had some of the greatest stuff. Richard Pryor, holy crap.
Yeah.
Steve Martin, you know, it's like, what the hell? And now we're in the dark ages of comedy. Right? And I hate to talk about comedy kind of like that, but that's where we are. No?
Yeah,
tell me I'm wrong.
I would say we're coming out of it. I would say the dark ages were like a few years ago. It's a lot better now. You could definitely a lot of us are fighting. The culture is fighting back too, you know. Mm-hmm. So like you have a lot of people who are like, "Gosh, shut up!" Like when they start to like get antsy or whatever. Like my buddy Aaron Berg, he was just doing a show at Gotham Comedy Club in New York, and people like walked out on his show because he's like a really like he just doesn't care. Like Aaron's the man. Like he just makes fun of everything, everybody.
Nice.
He does a lot of crowd work, like you know, and a lot of it's just like. Jew, black, white guy, like whatever, like whatever he sees, like fat idiot, like it doesn't matter, like whatever the target is that's getting roasted, right? So a bunch of people just walk out on a show, like they filmed it, and then they went on social media to try to make a big deal about it. But everyone at the club was booing them, like when they walked out, cause, like you know, they're like, "We're leaving." And people are like, "Good, like go."
Good.
You know, and then Aaron went on his social media, like they tagged Aaron, and they were like this racist male comic, you know, like. Saying these horrible things, and he's like just like retweeting it, being like, "Isn't this hilarious?" Like no one can. Like if you just don't. Here's the thing, like someone tried to go after me a few years ago, and I won't even say her name because I don't want to give any credence to this person, but she was a, I'm gonna air quote this, comic also, not you know bad, not funny. And she was this woke garbage person. And on the podcast one day, me and Neil were just, or Neil and I were just joking about stuff. And she, this is how much the woke people don't care, though. It's a cult. It's not true feelings, right? She sees the clip that we put out. We put out the clip. It's not like someone found the clip. We cut it and put it out ourselves.
Uh-huh.
She finds it, doesn't like it. Then reaches out to my friend Neil, who, again, I do the show with. We co-own the show together. And goes, "Are you going to have this guy on your network still?" And Neil's like, "I do the podcast with him." Like, what are you talking about? Like, but, like, my point is, like, they don't even do research. They don't really care, right? They just their whole thing is they care about just next trigger thing. They go off of that emotion. They don't go off of actual feelings, right? They just go off of, like, what the next thing is. So Neil was like, it hit the bricks, sweetheart, you know, and then she goes into an echo chamber of people and starts roasting me publicly. But like, here's what she doesn't understand. Only you guys care about it. Hmm. No one else cares about it. No one. So all you have to do is not care. So I just went, "Oh, I don't care about any of this." And I just ignored it all. And then nothing happened because it doesn't matter. Like you know what right. I'm saying? It only matters if you care or make it a thing. If you tell people, like, people are, like, these people aren't fans of you. They're never going to be fans of yours. They were never fans of yours to begin with. So if you piss them off, who cares? Like, if
right.
The only time you should care is if you piss off your own fan base. Then you should be like, "Oh, I think I screwed up here and I should apologize because I think I'm, they're doing, like, my core." But people who never – you think woke lefty blue hair is going to listen to my comedy podcast talking about crazy stuff? No. You think she's going to – you think they're going to listen to the Porcupine where I talk about how trans stuff is a mental disorder? No. Like, right. I doubt it. So I don't think – I'm not losing fans. I don't care.
Yeah, but your YouTube channel, right? You know, that's – you've been running at risk since
No. We're not saying anything that they're going to pull us.
No, okay.
This is just not... people being woke psychopaths.
Oh,
okay. Who cares? Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not on YouTube saying anything that's going to get us. We're not dumb. It's our business. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
So like, we know.
I haven't heard your show yet,
but
you know, I'll go by and take a look.
Free.
It'll be fun.
Totally free. Just go watch it on YouTube. Go subscribe. But like, it's just that, and we just go, oh, we don't care. What you say? And then nothing happens, and it goes away. It's that simple. Just don't care. That's my advice for that.
What are you guys going to be talking about tonight? I'm kind of curious what's hot on your...
I'll probably talk about... I'm doing the porcupine tonight. I did the comedy one last night. Tonight, we'll probably talk about a little bit of the Russia-Ukraine stuff more, because Zelensky was just in D.C.
Oh, isn't that funny stuff, huh?
Yeah. So we're going to... Well, this isn't my political podcast tonight. So
I know.
We can talk more serious stuff. But Zelensky, we're going to talk about probably the Sam Bankman Fried arrest and stuff. That whole money laundering
ties in together with Ukraine.
It does. It's money laundering straight. I'm surprised he got arrested, actually.
It's hilarious. Well, I wonder if he's going to kill himself.
I don't know. I think the Epstein thing made them that harder to do. I think that made like that was such a big deal. I didn't think they, like, the establishment thought that even the normal person was like Epstein. Like, it became a meme.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't think they expected that, because they're like, we've been killing people forever. Like, who cares? I'll kill this guy now. And they killed this guy, and it's like the one guy that, like, became like a national meme, and everybody's like, actually, we do care. And they went, ah, damn it. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of backfire. So now I think it's going to be harder to just wipe people off like that. Like Maxwell, why didn't she get wiped out?
Well, yeah, now she's sitting in a what the hell is she? She's in a minimum security prison, sipping on lattes,
that's my
organic
point.
Food.
Right? You know? Why did she get wiped?
They
harder.
Say that she has a dead man switch, right? So you think?
Why is no one else in jail?
Well, good question. good question.
Right? Why is no one else? The government's going to go through my Venmo account to see if I got $600 somewhere, but they just lost $3 trillion. And they want, but I have to tell them where my money goes. Well, where is my other money that you stole from me? Where's the money that you took from my taxes that I didn't agree upon? Where's that? Oh, bombing Yemeni's children, babies? I'm good. I actually don't want that. I actually would rather my money stay with me. And I could give it out to where I think it should go. I don't need you to send my money and to make bombs to bomb innocent babies, brown babies overseas. I'm good on that. I'm pretty good. I don't need that.
Yeah, I've always liked – that's the one thing that I did like about most of the Trump presidency. He didn't start wars, but I didn't like a lot of stuff about him. But
I didn't like Trump for the reasons that you shouldn't like Trump either. Like, none of the lies that they try to peddle to you. You know, I don't like Trump for the one when you just said it. Didn't end a single war. Didn't end him. Kept bombing. That's not good. So
he didn't start a war.
Didn't end him either, though, and he kept bombing.
Okay.
So to me, that's not good. You got to
go. But he only killed a real bad guy that might be a good guy to somebody else.
Yeah, sure.
Freedom
fighter. Sure.
Moving on.
How about the Children's Hospital that got put on strike, too? He spent before Biden, he spent the most money ever. So bad. He started the lockdowns. He's still championing the vaccine, and he started inflation by the kickback checks.
Isn't that great?
That's why I hate Trump. Those reasons I hate Trump, which are very valid reasons.
Yes, and I really like some good. I am not a Trumpist, right? You know, not happening. But
now he's better than Biden, sure.
But see, I feel that I was handed a plate, right? You know, I voted for him because I hated Hillary so much. So did they rabble rouse me into voting for that guy? And, you know, my co-host, he don't vote no more. He says, I already know it's rigged. Why am I going to even do it? why the hell, and that's my question for the last 6 months, why the hell am I even doing this?
I've been thinking that for the last few years, though, like, well before this last 2020 cycle. It's like, is this really legit? Like, is any of this legit? Like,
Well, you kind of know that it is and it isn't. You know, here locally, I know activists that are involved in the Republican Party.
No, and I know, too. I mean, I'm involved in the local Libertarian Party where I'm at.
And they do the boat watching and all that, and they're, you know, whatevers. But they're also sitting there calling foul on their own people, and their own people are entrenched, and, you know, they're making progress. But I can't say that our local elections are fair. In fact, I'd say they're suspect. Because they don't follow chain of custody correctly. So how can I try to get, let's say, a libertarian? How do we get a libertarian elected? Oh, crap.
So we have a bunch of people elected, but there's the stuff that matters, like local, small council stuff, which is important. Like, I say this all the time. Presidency really means nothing. It truly doesn't. Like if you have good – because here's the thing. If you have good, strong state leaders – who cares what the federal government says?
Okay, who had that? Who has that? South
Florida
Dakota?
And South Dakota, Florida? Yeah. Florida, okay. Wherever Kristi Noem was, South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
New Hampshire was really good.
They're doing better, but they also, I guess, again, it goes regional because, like, my sister's in New Hampshire, and she was talking about the city bossing her around.
Well,
about their
listen, every major city is going to be Democratic no matter what. It's like you're not going to beat that. Like, it just is what it is. But, like, the state as a whole, don't forget, also, New Hampshire has the Free Staters up there, the Freedom State.
I know.
State Project.
They're fun.
Oh, like I've done comedy shows for them up there. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, I was watching them about 2012, 2013. I remember they started in like 2008 or somewhere around there.
Oh, wow. They've done a lot, though.
They've done a lot. And like in 2009, they were doing LRN.FM, and it was the Free Talk Live program. And I'm sitting there listening to them, and one of them asked the other person, is this a failure? And I go, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And so they argued about it, right? Yes, no. And they weren't having the popularity that they wanted because their goals. But, you know, after that 2008, it tended to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a real movement right now.
Oh, it's strong. There's a lot of people there.
In New
Hampshire, I know. Personally, a lot of people there. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I thought about moving there, you know, but I moved to Texas.
Too
instead.
Cold. I was up there in April doing comedy, and I was like, I'm good. It was April.
Not going there. Yeah, I'm in Texas. I'm supposed to be in Texas. I'll be in Texas until I don't know when. Until
I was in Texas last year too, doing comedy.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Where'd you go?
Actually, right by Austin.
Right by Austin.
I was in Lockhart.
Okay, at least that was a little smaller than Austin.
I hate
picking on Austin. It's too easy. You know, that's the funny thing about comedy. You know, I actually studied comedy. Did you know you could study comedy?
I don't think you can.
Well, see, that's one opinion, right? That was an old George Burns had this discussion constantly. Can you teach comedy? Right, and the argument is no. You're either funny or you're not.
I think you could teach like technique, but you can't teach funny. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you could teach timing.
Yeah.
You not teach it, but you could kind of give somebody the idea of time. Not teach timing, but give somebody the concept of what timing is at least in comedy, and be like, this is what timing is. This is what like the rule of three. That's another one, right? You ever hear the rule of three?
I don't recall.
So the rule of three is like if you're going to make examples of something in a bit, so you'd be like, and then there was a banana, a wrench, and a dog, like three.
Mm.
Always three. Like three things. If two isn't enough, one's too short, four's too many. Like three's a perfect. Like bits like that, you know, when you're doing like when you're naming things, usually ended at three. And the third one should be like the punch of it all. That's like
the
a rule
punch.
Of comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of dumb stuff like that. Like, don't do comedy during the day or in front of kids or bike for kids. That's another rule, a written rule of comedy.
In front of kids or what?
for kids or in front of kids.
Oh, okay. You can't do it because they don't have the same mental.
They're children.
This, right.
The reason they can't consent to anything else in life is the same reason they shouldn't listen to adult comedy.
They just stare at you and go, what?
It's just a nightmare. I mean, adults are doing comedy for adults is a nightmare. Imagine doing comedy for children.
Oh, God. I understand.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up studying comedy, right, dude, one thing that I was reading one of these comedy books 20 years ago, and it said that in every joke, there's always a victim, right? And I think about that when I make fun of Austin, right? Because the Austin is the victim, right?
That's true, though. Every joke isn't the victim.
Okay. Tell me a joke without a victim.
Wow, you put me on the spot. Jesus Christ.
No, okay. But don't even bother. Don't even bother. We only have minutes left. And he's still thinking. And he's just going to try to find a joke without a victim. Because it could be self-deprecating.
Yeah,
it could
not,
be against somebody else.
Yeah, but you could make a joke about just the weather. That's not a victim.
Okay, so there's no victim in the... Because the weather isn't a thing.
Right.
Okay.
Or you can make a joke about an animal. It's not a victim. They can't. An animal. They don't have thought. They don't have like free thought or free will.
Okay.
You can't victimize an animal for words.
What if Texas was your victim? Right.
It's the same. It's not unless you say the people of Texas.
Oh, some people have. Yeah, I don't know. It's a stupid conversation. Only that. It's funny that you can get into conversations about. Funny, you know, I don't know if I can teach funny. I don't know if I am funny, but I sometimes am funny. But the weird thing is the dark humor, right? Yeah. The dark humor of the world, you know, is kind of crazy. You know, I have a customer, and I told this story a couple, maybe last week or the week before, that I worked with, and he's old, right? You know, and that's not the joke, right? He's pushing 90, right? And he says, Steve, so what's going to happen in this world, right? And I guess this really isn't funny, but it kind of might be funny to me. And I said, well, you know what? This world isn't going to be anything like you believe it. Well, is everything going to be okay? I'm like, probably not. Right? He goes, what? What are they going to do? I said, well, they want to kill most of mankind, and they want to move everybody into cities, and they want to rewild everything. And that's kind of like been their stated agenda for a long time. And to me, that's kind of funny. I guess that's dark humor, because I couldn't tell them that we're going to stop the United Nations. We're going to stop these globalists. We're going to stop all. It would be great.
You just said more of a truth than a funny. You just said more of a what's happening.
But I find it, well, I don't know. And I've told him these things before in the past, and he keeps asking me if everything's going to be okay. I can't tell him that. Hey, we got Moo in Texas. You want to go to him real quick?
Let's
go. Minutes left in the show. Moo. Oh, Moo. I get it. That's you, Dallin. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I figured you figured out who that was. Hey, Steve, thank the world for ERCOT. It's like my power has blinked out only for about a minute at a time at this point in time, you know. But since you've been on the show, my power has blinked out twice already. So what's coming? It's 17 degrees out here, dropped very precipitously. The bomb hit. We're screwed, folks. You know, thank God for ERCOT. They're going to save us. Yes.
Yeah, I find that's pretty funny, too. We are screwed. Adam, he's talking about, this is Alan. Alan, he lives about 45 minutes away from me. He is my co-host on Sunday mornings on my show. And he's complaining about, we just went from, 60 in the afternoon degrees down to, what did you say you're at now, Alan?
It this morning when I woke up at 7 o'clock, it was 54 degrees, and now it's down to 16 now.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going under, and it's gonna, you know, we got a couple
That's
days
a crazy shift in weather.
It is, isn't it? You know, a few years back,
it's just one of those natural environmental bombs that went off. from planes flying over our heads. Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Is that a way of saying and not saying, Alan?
Believing nothing, we're being warred on from every different way. Politics ain't going to save us. I'm sorry. You know, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian.
True that.
the mind sense are different, but the true political structure and what you can get inside of it and do at this point, I'm sorry to say. Pipe dreams, I'm sorry, you know. It's going to take a whole different method of operation, and it's something we can't really talk about, but we know happens every time. It's like what's happening in Brazil, you know?
Yeah. No, I tend to agree with you, man. That's why I always say, like, local elections, like I was saying before, like, local, town council stuff matters way more than anything major.
Hey,
I was actually
involved, you know, with Ron Paul, you know, involved in the political
Ron
scheme.
Ron Paul's a hero.
You know, watch the votes come in, watch the political structure, and I'm sorry, you know, it's like Sheriff Richard Mack, you know, lived down here for 2 years. He was hired to come down here and try to enact political change by some groups in this county here. And Sheriff Richard Mack, last time I talked to him, he said, your chances of having a constitutional sheriff, you'll be the last county on this planet to have a constitutional sheriff. You and your sister county are two of the most corrupt places I've ever been in my life. So, folks, some of us understand exactly what's being waged against us. You know, hopefully you might be in some small county somewhere where you might have some small smattering of some kind of a hope of politics being any kind of a savior to you. But what's going on in Brazil is going to have to happen here.
I don't know. Is anything going to happen in Brazil? I'm still waiting for something to happen.
But at least they've got an inkling of the right idea.
Adam.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, take care, guys.
Later, man. Yeah, no, I mean, he's right. It's very corrupted and fucking and beat down. It's just destroyed. I know, I'm trying. It's just destroyed. So yeah, I don't know. That's why I say stick to local stuff and only care about local stuff. And who cares about national stuff? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'd really like to get into the local stuff, but man, we need a big old shift in the awareness of the people in this town.
Well,
because right,
you guys to get out there.
Yes, and they like me fixing their computers, but they don't, you know, politically speaking, they like to build $20 million soccer fields and, you know, all these crazy things. Oh, we deserve. And some of them you explain to them, you go, well, hey, man, that's going to be on your kid. Oh, hell, he'll move out of here before then. So,
like, really?
Don't cost it. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, go into the next slime pit. Just like, oh, he's going to move to Austin and be treated right. Like, oh, no.
All these lefties think, like, communism is the way to go, or socialism. And they think they're all going to be, like, you know, art majors or be like, I'm going to do art. And it's like, face the wall. That's what you're going to do. You're going to face the wall and dig the ditch. You're not going to do anything. You know?
It's yeah.
Nonsense.
There are no jobs. There's going to be no jobs. What do you think about the increase of deaths around the world? Are we just more hyper sensitive towards seeing people die suddenly? Is there something to that, do you think?
It's almost like all of human history, people just weren't dropping dead for no reason, and all of a sudden the last 2 years they are. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think about it.
Well, I'm kind of like, I'm worried, right? Because it wasn't a vaccine, right? First of all, the, you know, mRNA, it's a modifying the human genome. Right, as far as all the research. Yep. So they tried to they messed with people's design, and some people die and some people don't die, right? There's all sorts of hyperbole, right? Some of these people out there in the whatever podcastosphere / radio thing are going, they'll all be dead in 2 years, those.
No, I don't think so.
You know, and we don't see that. But this year, I've done two funerals, and I'm pretty sure these people took the jab, and then I just didn't bother asking, right? I feel it's kind of rude, and we'll find out in the wash anyways, and they were free to do that if they wished. But do I go through another 10 next year before I go, yeah, something's up, man?
No, it's obvious something's up. You're seeing healthy soccer players in Europe just drop down on the field.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like, come on, man. I mean, listen, I didn't put that anywhere near my body. There's no one nowhere near me.
Good for you.
Absolutely nowhere near me, and I never will. I'll die on that hill. I'll die fighting for my bodily autonomy.
But
I truly
there's
will.
Other hills, right? There's other hills that are part of that one. You know, you didn't jab anything, but what about your chick, right? What about that groupie that's coming? You think that she can pass something on to you?
No, I don't think it's like that. My wife got it.
Okay, good.
She
your wife, you're married.
She,
that's
she regrets
great.
It. She regrets it, though.
Aw, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm so, hopefully that,
her period has been screwed up. I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yep, and we're both pretty confident because of that.
Man, that's always I hate that subject. I really do. It's thinking about depopulation and trying to use that to do it. And then
again, you have people on WEF, the World Economic Forum, outwardly just saying like, well, we would have a lot less problems if the population was the same it was like 800 years ago.
I know.
Like they just say it. They openly say it.
Yeah. Good deal. Thank you. Adam Nutter. You can find him on YouTube. And we'll bring you back sometime.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know, I enjoyed our conversation. Maybe we'll have you on Sunday morning. But thanks for
sure.
joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Okay. Take care. Bye, guys.
We must take the miracle back. We must take the miracle back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.